And I see there was two guys next to me watching the show. And then I don't know, they walk towards the lady in the front. And one of the guys starts taking off his pants. While the show's going on, the show's here. And I'm just, what the hell is this guy doing?
How did the special come about?
That's what I tell people, man. Being at the right place at the right time.
Welcome back to another episode of After We Wrap with your hosts, Jana Lee Ortiz.
Gabriela Ortiz.
Ow! Yes. Hi. It is a beautiful Monday.
It's gonna be May. It's already
Someone
May.
Just arrived.
It's already May.
Don't worry. We have people coming in and out, but it's okay.
Oh.
Who's our special guest?
I don't know. Who is it?
I thought you were talking about who just walked in.
Wait. Oh! What's all this ice for?
Our ice machine stopped working.
Oh, no.
It did.
That is a lot of ice, though. You guys use a lot of ice.
No, it's good. Hi. Everyone wants to know when you're going to be on the podcast.
You guys, I'm so sorry.
Everyone wants to know when you're going to be on the podcast.
He's already on.
He makes a cameo.
I'm on right now.
Yeah. No, but like on as a guest.
Hi, Dodds.
Oh, yeah, that's Bruce. Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh, that's Bruce.
That's our Brucey.
Jay, that's Bruce.
I love Bruce. Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'll ever leave. Oh, my God, yes.
Well, he's also a little allergic, too, so he can't get too close.
Do I just sit in the car in the garage?
The whole time, yeah. The whole time you sit there.
Who hang out?
I got to get the echoes. Do whatever you got to do.
Okay, you can see today's guest. This is off to a great start. I love it.
I love it. You can see
today's guest all over the world of comedy, and in his new stand-up special, Edgar Rivera, Unbelievable, which is available starting tomorrow, Tuesday, May 7th on Amazon Prime and Apple TV. But this show is all about who we are when the cameras stop rolling. So let's dive in.
Ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome comedian Edgar Rivera.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'm so happy. Time coming. How are you?
I'm excited to finally sit on the couch with you girls, man. Every week when I saw a different episode, I'm like, when am I going to make it?
You're finally here.
And it took a special. It took a special to come out tomorrow, by the way,
to be here.
So I'm happy to be here with Ortiz.
No, I'm actually happy that we have you on in the same time of the premiere
of your release.
Of your special, because that is something to celebrate and something that we have to talk about.
I'm excited. So that means tonight you guys could actually
get it. That's right.
Snap, tonight. How does it feel to have your first stand-up special out in the world, and what does it mean to you?
You know, it's crazy that I'm going through like a roller coaster of emotions. Mm. Like, I've been doing comedy. July will be 20 years of doing stand-up comedy.
Wow.
So this is like a comedian's dream. So I thought once this day came that I would be like, and I am excited, but at the same time, it's like I got this anxiety, because it's like opening up yourself to the world and letting the world judge you, and you know, and I plus
it's super vulnerable.
Yeah, it is. And then not only that, I've seen it so much during the editing process that I don't even think it's funny anymore, dude.
Oh, gotcha.
It's like when you see yourself on TV, you're like, like, I don't like it. I know it's funny, but I'm just ready for the feedback, whether it might be positive or negative. So I'm excited. I'm really excited. You know, it's been a long time in the making.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah, and you were there.
I know.
Both of you girls were there.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah,
you see a little familiar.
The audience, if you look at the special, look at the audience, you'll see.
Where'd you shoot the special?
I shot it at El Portal in North Hollywood.
Okay.
I would say Lankernchim, but I can't say Lankernchim, so I just said it two times.
Lankernchim.
I just said it two times. On Lankernchim.
Lankernchim. You do me a huge favor, Kyle. There's a tissue in that my nose is dripping.
Oh.
So sorry.
Indeed.
I have to.
She got some mocos, guys.
I love this podcast.
It's a living breathing machine.
It's like we start.
So over here, Kyle. She got some mocos.
This is authentic, I think. Yeah.
It's in there. As soon as you walk in, there's some tissue.
Let's sell Kyle in Spanish. Kyle, traeme un ticho para los mocos.
Thank you so much.
Traeme un ticho. How do you say tissue in Spanish?
I was literally about to ask you the same. No es servilleta.
No servilleta.
Servilleta is a napkin.
So how do you say tissue in Spanish?
Mami, dame un...
Tissue.
Un Kleenex.
Kleenex. Mami, tienes Kleenex? No, we do. Actually, yeah. We say Kleenex. Mami, dame
Kleenex. That's just a brand.
Yeah, but that's... Kleenex. Yeah.
Papel de toilet.
Let's get back to a special. But let's get back to a special.
ADD to the fullest.
I was going to say, this is three Puerto Ricans sitting on the couch.
Yeah, but we can't.
Which, where are you from in PR, by the way?
I am from Ciales, Puerto
from
Rico.
Ciales. Born and raised? Or?
I was born in Ciales and raised. I was there till like the age of 9. And then we moved to the Bronx.
And then you moved to the Bronx.
It's okay. You know what? This is. Yeah. Yeah.
You
have
to change the light.
Jay.
Listen, this episode is insane.
This episode is going to be amazing.
Guys, while we wait for Jay to put the groceries away, remember that tomorrow you can catch my special live on Amazon Prime and Apple TV, streaming worldwide.
As many times as I give him grocery bags to take and reuse, he never uses it. He never uses them. He comes back with the plastic bags all the time.
Does that get you mad?
I mean, no, not mad, but, you know, we love it. But wait, hold on a second. I was going to say something. I was actually going to say, fun fact, Edgar and I discovered that we grew up one block away from each other.
What?
On Castle Hill. I'm on Virgil Place and he's on Lafayette.
Did you see? Did you happen to see J Lo running up and down?
You know what though? It's crazy because we weren't far from J Lo. The house is supposedly J Lo. Yeah. You know, I never.
I went to Holy Cross School.
And that's right there, right?
Yeah, my parents got married there. I got baptized there. I did my confirmation and then my communion there. Nice. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know.
And her grandmother's still there.
And my grandmother. Well, yes.
Yeah, she is, right?
Yeah, I'm Virgil. My father's mom.
That's where it all started.
So you did the whole thing, communion.
Everything there at the same school.
You sound very amazed, Gabby. Like, you haven't done it.
I am. I didn't know this.
Have you done it?
Oh, I have to do my, what's the last one? The confirmation?
Yeah.
My mom got so mad at me because I hadn't done it when we got married. And she was like, you need to bless your marriage. I'm like, Mom, we're fine. It's fine. We're fine.
Oh, because you didn't do your confirmation?
I haven't done my confirmation.
Did you do your confirmation?
Am I going to hell?
No, you know, it's fine. It's fine.
I got baptized because I had no choice and I was a baby.
But the confirmation still holds it over me. Communion, yeah. Do you have your pictures of your communion?
I think so. Yep.
Did you do your communion?
My special comes out tomorrow on Apple TV and Amazon Prime.
So really quick, we'll get back to communions and confirmations and all that stuff. And tissues. So sorry, my nose is actually really bad.
Okay. Edgar, walk us through your process on how you started comedy where you are now.
So if July 2nd will be 20 years, 21 years ago, I walked into the legendary New Rican Poets Cafe in New York City. If you guys don't know about it, look them up. New Rican Poets Cafe is a theater in the Lower East Side with a lot of history. And I remember being a kid from the Bronx, comedy was never inspired. I would see comedy on TV, like The Kings of Comedy, but it was never a thing. If you were to ask me 25 years ago if I would ever become a comedian, I would be like, nah, hell no. It was never a thing. But they invited me to this show, and I will never forget that my brother had gone to a comedy show before, and it was a Black Bar Association, and my brother's light-skinned, and they sat him in the front, and every comedian messed with him the whole show. Uh-huh. And he came home so mad. He was so frustrated. They were like, this is Louis. He's trying to fit in.
His name is Louis?
Yeah, my brother's name is Louis. So I remember when I walked into the New Rican, I sat in a little corner, because I didn't want nobody to mess with me. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the show started, the first person I ever saw on stage was Angelo Lozada. May he rest in peace. He was my mentor. The first person I ever saw do it live. And after I saw him, that was it. Like the light. It's like right that day, that very day, I said, okay, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. It was once a month, every first Wednesday of the month. And it was called the New Rican Rule. So it was a sketch comedy troupe, and it had Selenis Leyva.
Oh, wow.
Selenis was there before. Selenis, Flaco Navaja, Mark Vieira, Danny Gonzalez, Angelo Lozada, Eric Nieves. And they used to do stand up, and then they used to do skits live in front of people, and it was amazing. So what I did was, I remember every first Wednesday of the month I was there, and I would go back to the Bronx and tell people in the hood, like, dude, you gotta go check this out. This is amazing. Like, I would promote for them, and it was so on fire. Like, if you didn't get there, the show started at 7. If you weren't online by 6, you would not make it in.
That's in line.
Yeah, in line. I'm sorry, Jaina's always correcting me.
Because I used to say online all the time. And I didn't know that I was saying it incorrectly.
Oh, thank you.
I'm online at the supermarket.
Neither did I till now. So I went, and 6 months later, I sat down with Angelo and I told him I want to do stand up. And he was like, why? You know? And I'm like, dude, I want to do this. And I took a comedy class at Stand Up New York and nonstop ever since. So a year later, after I walked in, a year later, I got to perform on the stage.
Wow. Okay. How was your first time on stage? Oh, describe that feeling. Was your heart beating out of your chest? Did you feel your...
It was...
Your booty hole
clenched?
Girl,
it was out of control. It was... Yeah. I still have the VHS. That's how long ago that shit was.
Wow. Yeah,
the VHS. But you could see my hand like this. You could see the microphone shaking in my hand. And it was so like... It was so cute. I look at it now and I'll be like, oh my God, look at the stupid jokes that I used to do. Like, I remember I used to be like, I'm a security guard during the day and I do this. And then I'm a bouncer at night and I do this. And I would get a stupid laugh. It was so like written and structured that so not like me now. But that's how I started.
Interesting.
Wow.
Because, you have to sort of prepare and plan and sort of write out what the format, right?
So like you work out your first 5 minutes. I remember, so I took a 6-week course at Stand Up New York, and I remember Angelo told me, I've been doing comedy for 20 years and I feel like I should never teach comedy. No one could teach comedy. But if you want to do it, and I recommend it to people because it puts you in an environment where you're with other people that want to do the same thing you do. So a stand-up comedy class does not make you funny. You're not going to be funny by taking a stand-up comedy class. But it puts you in that scenario, and then you network. So I did a 6-week class, and on the 4th week, the teacher came up to me, Mary Domino, and she was like, I have a show this weekend, and I think you're ready.
Wow.
So I was like, what?
It gave you some confidence.
So
that's
I did
good.
5 minutes, and then I did the graduation show. With the 6-week, you do a graduation show where you invite all of your family and friends to see you perform. So I did that. And then the following week after that, I did a show with her again. And she was like, I need you to do 7 minutes. And I was like, 7 minutes? Dude, like, you ever, like, seven minutes? I don't have 7 minutes.
Yeah, right.
And now, 20 years later, if you tell me to do 7 minutes, I stress out because I feel like 7 minutes is not enough.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird, dude? In the beginning, you're like, seven. Like, and now I'm like, you tell me to do 7 minutes.
I'm supposed to do anything that about
Like, what am I supposed to do in 7 minutes?
Right.
You know, I think it'll take me 7 minutes just to break the ice.
Yeah.
And get a crowd on my side before I really get into it.
And that's so important in stand up is like getting them on your side. So whatever you throw at them, they eat and digest and they like it. But it does take time.
Yes, man. You got to definitely work it. I remember I did a show one time on a cruise line, and the first one, they filed a huge complaint against me.
What?
Dude, it was horrible. It was like...
What was the complaint?
The complaint... I know exactly the guy, too. It was an old man in the audience, and it was a Puerto Rico cruise. So that was the first comedian they hired to do Spanish. So when I got to the cruise line, I was like, the shows are horrible. There were like 30 people in a lounge that fit 400. And it was because the cruise left out of Puerto Rico, and everybody on board was in Puerto Rico, and they didn't speak English. So they're not going to go to the English shows.
So I was like,
this is horrible. And then when I did the Spanish show, it was like packed. I went on stage, I said, Puerto Rico! And everybody went crazy. And I was like, yeah. Man. And there was this little old man, not heckling me, but just yelling stuff out, random stuff. And I'm ignoring him because my friend said, you can't go in on these people. Right. You got to ignore them.
Right.
So I'm ignoring them. And now everything that he's saying, people are laughing too. So all I asked him was, I was like, ¿Y cómo tú te llamas? Like, what's your name? And he said, Moncho. God. And Moncho was like 80. Dude, I was like, Moncho.
Fucking Moncho.
And that's all I had to say. I got the crowd on me. Moncho did not say a word for the rest of the show. After the show, they were like, Ego. And I took a picture with Moncho. And I was so excited.
So
I got
Moncho
off.
Became your friend
No,
afterwards.
No, check this out. So I got off the cruise 3 days in Barbados. Mm-hmm. And then I flew straight out here. Because I was living in New York, but I came out here. And on Monday, after the cruise finished, my agent calls me. And I thought he was going to call me to tell me they loved you, like just to get the feedback.
Yeah.
And the first thing that came out of his mouth is like, what did you do? And I'm like, what? What do you mean? He goes, they filed a huge complaint against you.
It was
and
Moncho.
I'm like,
it was Moncho.
And instantly, Moncho popped into my head. And he's like, yo, somebody from, they're going to call you. I want you to yes. And I was like, all right, cool. So we, the person called me. And they were like, listen, we have a strong sexual, you know, privilege, all this, you know, sexual things and all this, you know. And I'm like, dude, I was like, I cut him off. I said, look, I don't mean to cut you off, but I know exactly who you're talking about. And I want you to know that that guy was heckling me. And you guys have no one in that lounge telling him to shut up. For 20 minutes, this guy heckled me, you know. And he said, yeah, Edgar, you need to understand that you got off. And for the remainder of the cruise, everybody kept referring to him as the gay guy. And I had to cover the phone and start laughing. I'm like, oh my God, hilarious. And I'm like, but wait, but isn't he? Why are you getting mad? So, and I could tell how Puerto Ricans are. Because you know how Puerto Ricans are. La mira, mira quién está ahí, Moncho.
So they were making fun of him.
I guess. I wasn't there to witness
it. Oh, so then he
it.
Probably made a complaint because of how the crowd reacted towards him.
Yeah.
And then I went back, and the next cruise, I hated it, because I felt like I couldn't say what I wanted to feel, what I wanted to say. I was afraid to hurt people's feelings, and I didn't get into comedy for this. Comedy is the only art form that you could actually get on stage and say whatever you want, because at the end of the day, this is a comedy show.
Yeah.
You're here to laugh. I'm not here to offend you. Right. Or if I snap on you, laugh it off. People need to learn how to laugh at themselves. So I wasn't having fun, and I remember they let me go. They canceled all my contracts.
Wow.
I had like 6 months with the contracts and they canceled everything like that. And everybody say, why? And I knew why. I wasn't having fun. I was miserable.
Okay.
And then a few months later, they called me back and they're like, yo, can you come back? We're going to give you a second chance. And I remember I worked with a cat named Maceo from Brooklyn. And he had a show first. And I went to his show. And 15 minutes into his set, he calls the lady on the front the B word. Are we 10 minutes in? Can I say that word?
He said,
look at this bitch right here. And I was in the back like,
but how?
He got away with it.
If I go to a comedy show, I know to not take things personally. Like that's for the whole purpose of comedy. You can't get offended if someone's, you know what I mean? Unless it's an attack on something.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, something
but
like, specific. But
you can't. You can't.
Yeah.
But I remember I saw this dude and he kept on saying it. And I was like, so the next day we were in St. Martin and went to the beach. And I was like, bro, let me ask you a question, bro. How you get away with calling that lady a bitch? And he was like, he gave me one of the best advice I've heard since I started doing comedy. And it's just what he said. He goes, Edgar, he goes, once these people like you, you could say whatever you want.
Right.
But you got to make sure they like you. So it won't seem like an attack. Right. And ever after that, dude, it was nonstop.
Wow.
Okay.
So
hold on. I have to.
That's the story.
Boo, comma, are you going to move the pavilion bags from the counter? Question mark.
Sorry, I just noticed that they're just there, and now we're, you know, can we cut that out?
Not sponsored by a pavilion.
Thank you so much. I'm like, I see the bags there, and now I'm.
I was like,
pissed.
And that's how my life went. She's like, hold on,
one second.
Boo, can you take the pavilion back? Because Pavilion does not sponsor.
Right.
After
thank
we
you.
Wrap. Or maybe they could after they see this episode.
Oh no,
no, just say.
But
yeah.
he's just being a little brat. And
okay, we don't pick it up though.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Boo. Never mind. Took care of it. I got it. Nothing.
I love
you're
this.
Good, bro.
I just put it on the floor.
Yeah.
So it's not in the background.
We miss you
in the shot. Love you.
Do more stuff in the background. do the thing.
I'm so sorry, listen.
Here's the thing. But if you don't want me to put this away.
No, it's out of frame. It's out of frame.
Yeah, but I can't just do it.
Okay, well, thank you. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
This is
special.
This is the best episode ever.
Back to Edgar. Okay.
My special.
Okay, so now that you've done your first stand-up special, you got that off your goal list, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
Now the hard work begins. Because people think that you do the special and like you hit a...
Dude,
now I got to work harder. Yeah. Now the special is just going to open up some more doors so I can go through. So to me, what's next is headlining a different state every weekend.
Ooh.
That's what I want. That's what I want. I want to be like every weekend, a different city, every weekend, a different venue, and just be on stage.
How do you like traveling and being on the road for work?
It's not as fun as people think it is. Everybody's like, homesick? You got the best job. I do. After a while, I'm like, especially if I don't mind, if I'm going somewhere for like 3 or 4 days, then it's not so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're on the road, like comics are, like one day we're here. Like I did a Florida run and Texas run in January. So we started in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
We did Orlando. From Orlando, we had to pack everything the next day, go to Tampa. From Tampa, we went to Miami.
From Miami,
we went to Houston the next day. And then the next day after that, we went to El Paso.
That's exhausting.
So when it's traveling like that, yeah, that's exhausting.
It's
that's
wear
like,
and tear, yeah.
Because I'm the person that when I go to a hotel, I don't know if you girls do this, but I go to a hotel, even if it's for one night, I use the drawers. I take out everything from my maleta. Am I weird for this?
I love this. No.
No, dude, for one night. For one night, I mean, it's not much. It's just a few underwears and stuff, but I freaking move into the hotel.
I love that.
Do you make your bed? Do you make your bed too at the hotel? Do you make your bed at the hotel? Or do you
All right, let's not get carried away, bro. That's the way it is.
I do make the bed. If we're there for a whole week,
I don't let people come in and clean.
I can't stand when they come and touch my things.
Really?
I purposely put a do not disturb
so
they don't come in and rearrange.
Yeah.
I do like the come in, make the bed, clean the sheets or whatnot, switch out the towels. But when they start moving my things.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm the same way.
The stuff around the hotel, fine, but like your personal stuff.
Because
people get carried away in hotels. They do shit at hotels that you don't do at home. Like you ever notice you go to a hotel, you take a shower, you use that towel one time, and you just throw that shit in the floor, and that's it. It's done.
Yeah.
It's done. You don't do that shit at home. You don't
that's
at
true.
Home.
That's
you
true.
Smell the towel. And you're like, okay, this one got one more dry.
One more day.
It's true.
Lately, I've been with my boy. We've been on the road, and I share a room with my boy, Christian Zaragoza, and he's the same way. Dude, every towel, everything is on the floor. By the time I go take a shower, it's like, four towels in the floor. I'm like,
it's like that too.
And they do. They do remind you to,
yeah.
They do remind you to,
save the
energy, the water.
I know.
I think I'm the only person that saves towels at hotels.
Yeah.
I hang it up. I dry
same,
it.
Same.
Mm-hmm. I'm weird like that.
But I get it. You're not the only one. After you're done performing, what do you do? How do you wind down from that high?
It is the best high ever. And I've done a lot of drugs, but listen, comedy is the best high, especially if you have a good set. So to me, I'm a people person. So after shows, I hang out and I talk to everyone. And I guess that's cool because you keep the high going.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards I just go home and eventually I do wind down, but it's never been to the point that I can't sleep. I'm just, you know.
What amps you up before a performance? Oh, like, what do you do to energize yourself?
I listen to Bad Bunny.
You do?
That's right. Yeah.
All right.
I listen to Bad Bunny.
I had a dream with him the other day.
What?
I told you about this, babe. Like, he was trying to steal me from you. And I remember, I remember in my dream being like, Bad Bunny, Benito, ¿qué tú haces aquí? He's like, mami,
Like, yo quiero estar contigo. I was like, baby, I got my white boy. Like, I remember, like, full on having a conversation. Que se joda chain.
As my father would always say, if he can afford you, he can keep you.
Oh, my God.
But I woke up.
He could definitely afford her. She may never come back.
I think Gabriela 0.2.
Oh,
or
yeah.
2.0.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because his first was... Gabriela.
I
with one L.
Gabriela. La Patricia. La Nicole. La Sofia.
Esa es la fresca. Gabriela la fresca.
La fresca.
What?
To me, I listen to music. I don't get nervous. You see me before a show and I could be pacing back and forth and people, it may seem like I'm nervous and I'm not. I'm just, to me, it's more of are these people gonna get me?
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And honestly, I like the nerves.
Yeah, because it means
like
you care.
I like when I feel nervous. The day that I go to a show and I feel like I'm gonna destroy this shit, that's the day I get more nervous because I'm too confident.
Mm.
I don't wanna be too confident. I've noticed that sometimes when we're too confident and you walk into it, it doesn't go the way you think it's going
to
go.
Because there's expectations attached to that.
As opposed
too.
To like, okay, you know what? Let me be humble.
Yeah.
But it's a whole different.
And enjoy the ride.
It's
enjoy
crazy. I get it a lot. If people be like, they'll see me at a show and they don't know I'm the comedian. And they'll see me in the back. And then, you know, afterwards.
Do they think
come
you're the security guard or something?
Yeah, afterwards they'll come up to me like, man, I didn't even know you were the comedian. And I'm like, what is a comedian supposed to look like?
Well, but usually you don't see comedians lingering back in the back. Stage of the not the backstage but
in the showroom,
you know, the, yeah exactly
yeah
in the
nah,
showroom.
You see them they hiding most of the time, but there's certain places that you go that you can't hide, so you gotta sit in the back and look at it.
Interesting.
And then that's another thing, I don't know how you feel, Shin, but for me, I remember years ago I would hate watching comedy shows, especially like if I was last,
like,
if I was last and they got eight comics before me. Oh, I hate it.
That's got
to
be
like
annoying.
When you're doing a show, do you have to kind of tune out what everyone else is doing? Or do you like kind of like to take it in to see what's happening, to kind of use some things that have happened?
Well, back then, I didn't like watching shows because I didn't want to know what other comedians were doing because we get in our own heads. And be like, oh, you said something that's something of what I say. Now you're going to mess me up because now I'm not going to want to say that because you already talked about it. Mm. Right. But now, dude, I could be having a blast conversation. I know where you'd be like, you next. And I could just run on stage with no problem.
But, and then you also, what I notice that you do is sometimes you use the, not the joke, but the theme of what was super funny for the comedian before you, and you'll, like bring it into yours. If it's
so now I'm different. Now
I'm different.
Now
yeah,
I'm different. Now I like to actually sit there and see the show. So now I'll sit there and be like, Gabby goes up first and let me see what she's going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And if you said something funny, okay, I'll write it down on my phone. Okay. Jaina went up. Okay, Jaina said this. And then I'll go up and I'll do a recap. And
that's almost like a secret weapon to connect with the audience quicker.
Exactly, because they're in the moment. Now they're seeing, oh, wow, this guy is talking. He's with us, you know? So when you do, so I tell people, you know, most people get mad when comedians ask audience members questions.
Mm.
Like if I see you, how long you been together? And they're like, okay.
People get mad at that?
People get mad, not so mad, because this is the problem, that a lot of comics don't watch each other. So like if I go up to you, if the first comic asks you how long you've been together and you say 12 years, and then the second comic come ask you how long you've been together,
and then by the
third comic, how long you've been together, everybody's answering. They're like, 12 years, because everybody knows. As opposed to you sitting there and knowing, so then when I hit the stage, instead of asking you how long you've been together, I'll be like, yo, 12 years, let me ask you something. And then they feel like, dude knows.
Yeah,
he's on point.
That makes sense.
So now I'm at that stage that I like to sit in the back and I enjoy the whole show. I just did a show this past Saturday and I was in the back and there was a few comics before me, but yo, they were saying some things and I'm like, oh my God, this is hilarious. And I went on stage and I did 15 minutes and I didn't even get one joke in. It was just 15 doing callbacks on the comedians.
Oh, I love that. I've never heard of that.
And as a comedian, you can't get mad. As comedians, I get mad. Oh,
yeah,
no, dude, I'm bringing light to what you just said, you know? So people are going to remember you too as well. Yeah.
It's almost like the art of improv where you're just yes-anding the whole time.
Yeah.
So I got a question. Have you performed in PR?
Yes.
where, because I didn't even know stand-up or camp comedy existed in Puerto Rico. That was just my bad for not being informed. But I started following Teatro Breve.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
When we take you to PR, we gotta go. We gotta go to
So Teatro Breve does the same thing that the New Rican was doing when I first started. It was that same concept of Saturday Night Live.
Okay. Yeah. It's like the version of Saturday Night Live.
But in Puerto Rico now, there's a big stand up community. There is. I have my cousin out there, Chente Idrash. Chente is like out there.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So they have a lot. So I've done a lot of shows in PR and.
Is there anything different between a Puerto Rican audience and the American audience? Have you seen anything or?
Okay, to me, I love to do crowd work, and it's not so much crowd work, but I love to be in the moment. I want people to know that okay, this dude just came up with this off the top of his head.
Yeah,
I'm in the moment. So in Puerto Rico, I feel like everybody's doing stand up, but they all read the same book. Mm. They all structure.
Mm. Yes. Like structure.
Joke. Joke. So when I started going and I started breaking that wall and talking to people, it was something they never seen.
They love it. Okay.
So the last time I went, I performed in Teatro Bellas Artes. You know, they have the bar downstairs. I didn't do Bellas Artes. Not yet.
Damn,
it's going to happen.
That's coming.
Bellas Artes is coming. Write it down. Bellas Artes. But I did the bar that they have downstairs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
that's awesome.
I was sitting in the back. This funniest story ever. I was sitting in the back. And I see there was two guys next to me watching the show. And then I don't know, they walk towards the lady in the front. And one of the guys starts taking off his pants.
And I'm like, dude,
while the show's going on, the show's here. And I'm just, what the hell is this guy doing? And he took off his pants. He folded them and handed it to the lady that was working the door. And I was like, okay, weird. And then I waited a few minutes and I went up to the lady and I was like, did that guy just give you his pants? And he goes, yeah, the owner does not like shorts. So we have pants in the back. So when people come with shorts, we lend them pants. And I'm like, no way. Dude.
That's so funny.
Dude, right? Like, that's crazy. So I went on stage and I talked about that. I talked about how the place, you can't find it. And the owner was there. He got so mad. He was so mad. He went up to the guy that put the show together. He goes, este no me lo traiga, maná. Like, don't bring him back again. Like that, yo.
Damn.
And it was to the point that I'm like, dude, no. If I'm talking about your place, if I'm snapping on your place, yo, dude, it's
a
your place.
It's a
whether it's a good or bad, but it's you know, I mean, come on,
that's
brilliant.
That's
the whole point of comedy is to just laugh at things. Yeah.
Only in Puerto Rico where you go to a place and be like, no, you can't come in because you got shorts. But don't worry, what size are you?
I've never heard of shorts. I know about jackets. Like, because I used to work in a place like if you had like short sleeves, you have to have a jacket. Yeah. So we would have like rental jackets for them to wear, but shorts, I didn't know about that.
Rental jackets.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a brief moment to switch gears and share this beautiful product. Magic Mind has reached out and gave us some samples to try out. It's a mental performance shot. We want you to try it.
Oh, yeah.
We've actually have been using it. And
I love them.
We do. It's
so
okay.
What is it? Before the recording.
Yeah,
today,
we did.
Yes.
It hasn't worked.
So
It takes a minute.
It increases productivity and it makes you less anxious. No, but seriously, we want you to try it.
You want me to do it right now?
Yes. These are the key ingredients and benefits. It has cognizant. Citicoline, Citicoline, cognizant citicoline for brain health. It has organic ceremonial grade matcha for sustained energy.
Something good to take before stand-up.
Yes, this may be a little ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, go ahead. It has unique benefits such as time-released caffeine the inclusion of nootropics? Nootropics and adaptogens.
How much caffeine does it have, though? Is it has that
matcha?
It's the matcha caffeine, so it's not like coffee.
Because I haven't done caffeine in almost 2 years now.
No, it's natural.
Jaina always starts these little things like, let's do this challenge. And we stopped doing caffeine, which is the hardest thing I've ever done for 2 weeks.
I actually still do matcha, which I love.
Nah, I'm just doing decaf for now, so I don't
try
know.
Try it. It'll be amazing.
Cheers.
So, the reason we love this company so much is that it's commitment to sustainability and carbon neutral status.
Mm-hmm.
We love that.
It's got a guava taste to it. It's
it delicious. Has charitable yes. contributions to mental health organizations. Yeah. So we just want to remind everyone we have a special discount available using the code provided. It's down in the description to learn more and make a purchase.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm a big fan because like I have trouble focusing and I talked about it with
and
my
you've been using them for your play
yeah,
rehearsals.
Yeah, just in general, you know, just so I can be more focused, more attentive.
You like it?
Get
look
shit
at me, look
done
at me. Look, I'm
right
already
away.
Focused.
Yeah,
look,
you're focused, right?
I haven't even blinked since I took it. I haven't blinked.
And I will say, after taking these, yeah. you know, for a few days, I notice a huge difference, and I'm a
oh
fan.
Oh my god! So thank you. I'm gonna have to get these because I feel like I need it bad. I'm at that age, and I'm like, damn, I'm losing my mind. I'm like forgetting a lot of
things.
Well,
you know what? You got your mind back right there in that tiny little bottle.
We're getting old. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So,
so really quick, we want to just do a tiny little,
oh yeah,
skit ish. Yes. We have no interest in getting involved in stand-up comedy at this moment, but we thought it would be fun to have you help us create a joke, story, or a bit just live on air, just to walk us through the comedy.
For yeah, each of them.
Just in
for
case
the process,
one day I want to be like, I want to go up and do stand-up, which is never going to happen.
Like, how would you approach... How would you approach the first joke? I mean, in my mind, I think self-deprecation is like the key. Just to kind of, okay, I don't know.
So,
it's just
so she wants to do a self-deprecating joke. That's a
like,
place
it's
to
just
start.
More relatable when you're like, man, yeah. I've been really gassy lately. And yet, you know, the other day I went on a date. I don't know, something to break the ice a bit. What would you say? What would you have us say when we first come up?
Well, you just said it right there. I think for like a female to go on stage and break the ice with saying, I've been very gassy lately.
The first thing
like
she
that,
says.
That's hilarious right there. Because I think, you know,
I mean,
like,
you could be like, dude, I don't know about you, but like, I've been really bloated these past couple weeks.
And it's not, I'm not pregnant. It's not my period. I don't understand what the fuck is happening with this body, but I can't deflate.
Is it at night?
No, it's the fupa.
Damn, that sounded like a she sounded like a conga. Damn. She sounded like we were Orchard Beach. She said, no, it's just
it's
right
my
there.
Fupa. It's I can't my, get my it to. Fupa.
What else would you say? What else would you have us do?
Honestly, it's crazy then... because it's like I don't write for myself, but now I gotta write for these two. But I think breaking the ice with something personal is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
So okay. I tell people when you do comedy, you do comedy. There's a lot of comedians that you could look at and be like, oh my god, they're hilarious, they're funny, but who are they?
Right.
There's a lot of comedians. Yeah. Why people love Kevin Hart so much? Because they know, like, they feel like they know Kevin. Mm. Kevin talks about his dad. He talks about his uncle. So it's like they feel like they know him. So for you girls, yeah, that whole gassy shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think that would be my approach if I ever do stand-up. That's one of my toxic traits that I think I'm going to be a successful stand-up comedian. Like, huh?
You think?
Yeah. Oh. Every once in a while,
you
I'm
really
like,
think this?
I've never told you this. So I haven't, Theogawi is like the comic.
She said
Theogawi. My uncle, he's really funny. He's like naturally funny. I don't think he ever thought about being a comedian. But then my mom was always like, ay, nena, tú eres una comediante. And I'm like, no, I'm not, mom. Like, I'm just being myself.
But it's so different.
This is news
to
me.
But it's very
this is
different.
News to
yeah.
me.
Now we're going to have to do a show and get Jaina and Gabby on stage. I'm going to do it. I'm going to set up the show and we're going to do an after the rewrap.
But that would
show.
Be what I would talk about. I would talk about my family and just demolish
you
them.
Have so much due to the fact that you're married to a white man.
Yeah.
Why do you say that like that's a bad thing?
First mistake.
Damn.
And I looked at him
I
and
feel
I looked
attacked
at him,
and I'm not the husband.
No, but that's what you definitely need to talk about. There's so much material with the family, not understanding the differences in family. I remember when I was younger, I had a cousin named Nelson, and this dude was the life of a party. This dude came to the house and everyone loved him. He was always in character. He always did all these voices, all these faces, joking. He was like the life of a party, you know? And I tell people this. To me, I was always the life of a party when I was in, you know, at home as a kid. But it's a whole different thing when you get in front of an audience that you don't know. So people are like, oh, I'm funny. I'm funny. I could do this shit. I'll say, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead and do it.
Do it,
All right, we want to wrap up some questions. We just want to get everything in, all the juicy bits.
That's what she said.
What's one question you've always wanted to be asked but never have been asked?
Oh, my God. That's a good one, man. And this thing that I just drank is making my mind, like, think about everything.
Really?
What's one question that I want to be asked that I've never
been always wanted to be asked but never have been?
Why do we do this to our guests? That's such a hard question.
This is so, like, oh my.
I mean, we can get back to it.
Yeah.
And do a little something more simple. If you were stuck on an island, what are three things you couldn't live without? Off the top of your head.
Don't think about it too much.
Just
stuck in an island. A deserted island. Nothing in an island.
You're in Palominito.
Palominito. There's no electricity. There's nothing.
Yep.
Three things that I will need?
That you couldn't live without.
Oh.
That you couldn't live without.
One, fire.
Because
we need to cook. But my phone. Internet. You know, how about internet? How about Instagram? Facebook? What? Like, how horrible would that be to be stuck in an island without that?
You couldn't live without social media?
I don't care. Yeah, of course.
I love that.
You're the first
Can you imagine?
One.
Like, you can't do this. You can't like.
So you're saying the phone and internet.
Yes, the phone and internet.
Okay.
Definitely.
And fire.
And social media.
And fire.
And fire. I don't know where fire came from, but I felt like I needed to cook something.
No pots, no pans.
When you asked me the question, I just thought about Naked and Afraid and how they bring one thing.
I
thought about fire. I said, that makes matches.
Yeah, hey.
Matches. Yeah, I bring matches.
What is your biggest fear?
Scuba diving.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can see that.
Why?
Me too.
You too?
You too? Nobody said that yet, and I love that. Yeah. But I feel that. I feel that.
Yeah.
Dude, what about it?
Because,
sharks?
No.
The ocean is terrifying.
I go to the beach in Puerto Rico, and it's beautiful because you can see your toes.
You
can see everything.
Yeah.
But if I can't see what's in there.
Yeah.
Like, you know how people go in the ocean and they'll anchor the boat somewhere and they all just jump in?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I'll be like, if there's a lot of people in the water, then I'll be like, okay, I'm going to do it because if a shark comes, it has options. But I'm not going to be the only one in there. Right,
and I don't think so. If there's a lot of people, sharks don't come nearby. It's only a solo thing. If you're solo, that's when they come around.
Really?
Yeah, I've done a lot of shark research because I have... I'm weird.
It's, okay.
But that's one
it's
thing.
It's good to know.
I know. So what is one thing that not a lot of people know about you?
I'm a grandfather.
Wow.
Where?
In New York. Not here in California. I'm a grandfather. She said where?
Where?
Who says where to that? Like
it's
Jesus.
It's like when, you
and
know.
The messed up thing is that I drank. I drank this and I'm thinking about it. I'm like, where?
I think she meant like where, where? Where do you look? You don't look like a grandfather.
Yeah, like how you say, like, oh, I'm 50 and you look like you're 20. It's like, where are you 50? I don't get it.
Dude,
where are you
that
a grandfather?
That is funny.
He
took it literally.
I am a grandfather.
Where? Actually in New York.
That's it, in New York. That's where they at. Not here. Yeah, but I'm a grandfather and I talk about it. I'll talk about it sometimes on stage, but a lot of people don't know.
I didn't know that. Wow.
And when they find out, they get like, mind blown. Yeah. Like, you know, there's certain things I like to keep certain things out of my comedy.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. There's things that we should talk about, and there's things that I don't really talk about. Like, so I've over the years, I've separated what I want to definitely talk about, not talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And family sometimes is one of those things.
Really?
You know?
Okay.
And, yeah, but I got two little grandkids.
Nathan and Hunter. Not just one. Yeah. Two. Twins?
No.
Okay.
They're Irish twins. Puerto Rican Irish twins.
That's what we're gonna
They're 11 months apart. They're 11 months apart. For 1 month, they're the same age.
Yeah. Wow.
My son did not waste no time, yo. No time. Badass kids. They bad.
Okay, really quick. We're going to do a quick this or that. Sorry, I got distracted from the dogs. They're so funny. Right? They're really funny.
You're doing really good, man. This is really helping you.
Yeah?
Yeah, because we all know Jaina. we all know Jaina.
I am pretty...
I had a whole conversation with her yesterday on the phone. I was very good because Jaina, you talked to her.
I know.
I always know when Jaina's talking to you when her brain's not there. And I get why, but I know the moments and I'm like, all right, this is going to have to be something that I'm.
Jaina is a FaceTime person.
I know. Yeah.
Jaina, I love that though.
If they were to take FaceTime away, Jaina would die. She would when you FaceTime me with Jaina, I could look at her too and I'm like, all right, Jaina, I got to go. She's like, no, I'm paying attention. You know she's not paying attention. The worst thing that the iPhone could do is minimize the FaceTime so you could still look and scroll.
Yes!
And this is what I see. This is what I see.
She's I've been
there. And I'm like, Jaina, what are you doing? No, I'm listening. I'm saying, you're not listening, Jaina. You're not
this
listening.
This is my impression of Jaina on FaceTime when she's definitely scrolling on something else, but she's talking to you.
And the mouth open.
I'm like, and you see the delete emails and like answer some messages. That's right. The worst thing that they did was like, keep the window up of the FaceTime and you can still do.
And you know what's crazy? Then you tell her, all right, Jaina, you know what? I got to go because you're not paying attention. She goes, no. And then she'll bring up something that happened 5 minutes ago. And she says, so tell me about that. And I'm like, I'm not. And I always fall for it.
I called you out earlier. So,
it's like FaceTiming with Jaina is like an interview. She'll ask you a question and let you say all the answers to that shit. She's not even listening. She's like this, looking at my God. Oh my God.
Okay, I need to be more present. I'm going to practice being more present.
This is helping you.
We're going to do a quick this or that. No thinking. Yeah. Rapid fire answers, okay?
Ready?
Okay.
Talito.
Okay.
Talito.
Let's go.
Vamos. Invisible for a day or able to fly for an hour?
Invisible for a day.
Smaller, small intimate venues or large theaters?
Large theaters.
Ooh. Bombing on stage or getting heckled?
Getting heckled.
Crowd work or stick strictly to the script?
Crowd work.
Love it. An autobiographical material or pure fiction in your routines?
Wow. Can you repeat first word again? Because I have never heard that shit in my life.
Autobiografía.
Autobiografía is like material, talking about yourself.
About yourself or fiction?
I'll take autobiography for 100, please. always about myself. Yeah.
Board games or video games?
Video games.
Oh, pancakes or waffles?
Waffles.
Oh. Early bird or night owl?
Night owl.
Okay.
Dale, mami, no hablo tú.
Superheroes or supervillains?
Superheroes.
Just no because
I
want to
feel like I want to save something.
Tú no quieres ser villano.
I don't want to see. I don't want to be a villano.
Do you have the question that you've always wanted to be asked but never have been? Did it pop in, or did it never come?
It never came because I was thinking about the autobiography of myself and autobiografía. Damn, one question that's a good one.
Or maybe
though.
Just something that you want to share with us that you, that you've been. Keeping.
How did the special come about?
Oh yes.
How did the special come about? Boom. How did the special come about?
That's what I tell people, man. Being at the right place at the right time, and never letting how successful you think you are get in the way of anything. Ooh. I've been doing this for 20 years. I consider myself a headliner. I know I'm a headliner, and. Comedy Dynamics reached out to me so that I could warm up two shows for them. They had a warm up. So when I taped the special, they had a festival and they were taping 18 specials in a span of 1 week. And the warm up guy couldn't do two shows.
Wow.
So they reached out to me and that was the lesson learned. Never let You know, somebody else would be like, "Hell no, I'm not a warm up.
I'm not a replacement, or I'm not a replacement."
It's like somebody coming up to you like, "Jaina, I want you to be extra." And you'd be like, "No, I've not did that." Mm. No, like so they told me that, and I was like, "Dude, I would have done all of them." And I did the first one. It was the first two. So I walked into the theater. I did the first one. There was some technical issues, so I was on stage longer than a warm up is supposed to be. I was on stage for almost 20 minutes.
Wow.
And I walked into that theater as a warm up, not to do comedy because that's what they're here to see this person perform. Mm-hmm. So I was doing what I do best, crowd work. I was in the moment. And when I tell you, I won that crowd over like that. I had them right here where I wanted. It was amazing. So by the time the first show was over, the first special was over, they came up to me and they were like, "Hey, buddy, if we could squeeze you in, you have the hour?" And I said, "Fuck yeah." Just like that. That's exactly how I said. I said, "Fuck yeah." And they were like, "Okay, either we could do it Friday or Sunday." So I found out Wednesday and I taped it Friday. I originally picked Sunday, right? And then I remember, like, because I know how Hollywood is when you find out stuff that you can't really talk about it. Because you know how it is. Until you sign a contract. So I was like, I remember I walked to the back. And a crazy story that day. That same day that I went for the specials, I did my hike like I do every morning. And April is a very hard month for me because I lost my mom 4 years ago in April. Mm. So it was like one of those days. And I remember I went to Fryman and I sat in the top. And I'm a strong believer in saying things out loud. Saying it. Not so much bragging about it, not talking to the people, not bragging to, "I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that." But saying it to yourself. And I was in the top of Fryman Canyon. And I remember I was on a bench and I said, "I'm going to go there today and I'm going to shine so much. These people are going to give me a special." Wow. I said that shit out loud. I said, "I'm going to shine so much. These people are going to give me a special."
Look at that.
Look at my hairs. Look at my hairs standing.
Goosebumps.
And I went to the theater that day. And after the first one, it's crazy because on the way to the theater, I had a friend of mine that was working the festival called me and he was mad. And he was like, "Yo," I said, "What's wrong with you?" He goes, "I can't believe you're not on this. Why are you not doing your special?" And I'm like, "Yo, thank you, bro." I said, "Dude, let it go." I said, "I'm in my lane. Don't worry. What's meant for me is meant for me." Yeah. And then I realized another point right there. You have friends that defend you, which is good for people to defend you, but you got to pick those battles. He could have easily changed my mindset. He could have easily made me go like, "You know what? You're right, bro. Why am I doing this shit?" And I could have walked into that theater with a whole different mindset. Yeah. Instead, I went, you know what? Don't worry. I got this. I did the first one, and I was walking. I will never forget. I was walking up the stage. Well, you see in the theater how you walk up, and this young black girl came up to me, and she was like, "Oh my God, you are hilarious!" And I said, "Thank you." She goes, "No, you don't understand." She goes, "I don't even like stand-up comedy, but you made me laugh." And I'm like, "You don't like stand-up and you're working with Comedy Dynamics?" She was like, "I'm just an intern." She goes, and then she said it again. She goes, "How come you're not up there?" And I'm like, "Girl, it's going to come." And as soon as I said that, I got a tap on my shoulder. Cisco, he goes, "Hey, brother, can I have a word with you?" And I'm not going to lie to you, I knew it was coming. Wow, I knew. Look at my head. I knew it was coming, yo. Like, I walked away, and that's when he said it. And I was like, "Fuck." So I remember I went to the back. I called my girl. She didn't pick up. So I wanted to tell somebody, she didn't pick up. I called Jaina. Jaina was second. She didn't pick up, right? Then I called my sister. My sister finally picked up. My sister texted Jaina. So I told my sister, I said, "John, it happened. They offered me the special. I'm going to tape it on Sunday." And then Jaina finally calls me back. And I'm like, "Jaina, Sunday, don't make no plans." And she was like, "Sunday's Easter." And I'm like, I'm like, "No." And I went back in. I said, "Let's do Friday." And that's how it came about. It was just like,
wow. Oh my God.
I learned so many things from this special and how it came about. Because I was supposed to do it in 2020. I was going to do it in Puerto Rico. And at Teatro, what is it called? Oh my God, I forgot. I went blank. Where? The one in Viejo San Juan?
Teatro Tapia.
Yeah. I had everything set, dude, to do it March of 2020 in Puerto Rico when everybody told me not to do it in Puerto Rico. Go to New York. You're from New York. And I'm like, "No, dude, I think Puerto Rico is ready." Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, in 2019, I had an accident that took me out. And then the pandemic hit. So I never got to do it. And then,
but like you said, timing.
Timing, everything. Being ready.
Yeah.
being ready, because I don't know what's worse. I don't know if it's I think about it now, I'm like, was it worse that I had 2 days or maybe just 1 day to really prepare for it? Because I did an hour, you know? So it's like, you know, I know comedians that they're on the road for 6 months working this special, working it every single night in front of hundreds of people. And then, you know, I didn't have that. I found out Wednesday. I signed the contract Thursday and I taped it Friday.
Right, right.
So until I signed the contract, I didn't even promote because I was still skeptical about, like, I was like, once I signed the contract, I signed the contract 24 hours before I taped it.
Well, all those years leading up to it really, really prepared you to truly shine on that stage, and you were ready. I mean, we saw you. And
I was ready. Yes. I was skinnier. You know, I let myself go a little, guys. Let me sit up. But I had a friend that told me the craziest story. He was like, dude, it was like you were getting ready for something that you didn't know was coming.
Right, right, right. Yeah,
I was in the best shape of my life. I had just finished 4 miles a day for 100 days. I hiked 4 miles a day for 100 days. I lost like almost 40 pounds. I was ready. And right before I shot it, I remember I went to Chicago and I headlined Chicago for the first time. And I did an hour and 15 minutes. So that was like the only thing that I had to like prepare myself for it. So.
Well, we're so excited to.
I'm excited.
To watch it tonight, tomorrow. It is officially out.
Yes.
He's amazing on stage. He's amazing in person. If you ever get a chance to watch Edgar Rivera in person, he kills it on stage.
And now we're manifesting.
And now we're manifesting
Puerto Rico.
I still want to do it.
This is the first special, but the first of many.
Yes.
Many, many, many to come.
It's like you said when you asked me earlier, what's next? And I'm like, yeah, the second one. Mm-hmm. I want to do a crowd work special.
Yes, absolutely.
That sounds like fun.
Where it's got to be like a stage for like an hour.
Like a stage.
So like not worry about no joke and see what I can make happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Edgar. Thank you so much.
Unbelievable, Kari.
Unbelievable.
He truly is unbelievable. You have to watch it to understand why it's unbelievable, not unbelievable.
I'll tell you guys real quick. That's the way my Puerto Rican father says unbelievable.
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 And then thank you again to Magic Mind for providing the mental clarity, the stress-free, and focus for today's podcast.
Thank
it's
you.
Very yummy.
Magic Mind.
Check it out.
More
and there will be a discount in the description.
I'm going to get Magic Mind.
I
feel great, yo. I really do. And thank you, ladies. I'm very proud.
Oh, Edgar, where can our viewers find you?
I'm proud of, actually, my fitness is not working because my phone just rang.
Oh, wow. Oh, really?
I'm proud of both of you girls. I'm what you're doing
you.
And how this started. And yeah,
thank
so
you.
Congrats to you.
Thank
and
you so much.
And you can find me on all the social media handles, Edgar Rivera Comedy.
Edgar Rivera.
Rivera Comedy. The special comes out tomorrow. You guys get, boom, tomorrow,
May 7th. Here we go.
Big fat shout outs to everyone that has bought it already because you can actually buy it. You can pre-order it on Apple. And, yo, the love that I've gotten has been overwhelming.
Amazing.
I'm telling you, like, I could cry right now. I could actually cry.
Well, cry.
Let's
do
cry.
It.
Let's fucking
Let's cry.
Cry. Yo, I could cry because it's like, yeah, I remember as an artist, we always want our people to support and follow, right? That's my biggest complaint with people. Right? People send me all these crazy videos about stupid shit. And I'm like, why don't you share my videos? And I've always been on my family. Like, come on, guys, you guys are my family. But I never thought about it, but it's been 20 years. For 20 years, I've been stressing my family to support me, to follow me.
And
so
look, everyone's
now,
definitely...
Now that the special is out, now they're really doing it. So thank you to everyone that pre-ordered it on Apple TV. And
I
hope
Rico
you guys like it.
Mundo.
De Puerto Rico pa'l mundo.
Thank you so much for coming and chatting with us. We love you. We'll continue to support you. and that is a wrap. We'll see you on the next episode of After We Wrap.
Bye, guys.
Bye.